Grace, mercy, and peace be yours. In Christ Jesus our Lord, amen. So a couple months ago, my wife Amy discovered something that has since weaved its way into all sorts of conversations in our lives about our relationship and about friends and family members and really any sort of personal interactions in our lives, because Amy discovered the Enneagram. Now, for some of you, you're laughing because you know what the Enneagram is, and the rest of you don't know, and that's fine. Enneagram is just another one of those personality type inventories. And so in Enneagram, there's like kind of 9 different types, and they're helpful, right? Personality type inventories are helpful for us as we kind of think about who we are and how we interact with one another. And so the reality is that we're all unique, right? We're all unique, different people, yet a lot of us have differences and similarities that we can kind of categorize into different types of personalities, and they're helpful to get into, like, what are our base motivations? What are our base fears? You know, how do we respond to things? And so, for example, some of you in this room are planners. Are you a planner? Raise your hand if you're a planner in this room. There were a lot more planners at the early service. That's okay. So planners, I don't know what that says about your choice of service, but so planners, there's a certain peace of mind in thinking through things, right? You know, so planners like to do their research. They, you know, before you buy something, you spend hours and hours making sure you have planned it out and you're getting the best possible deal, right? Planners like to know and think through the consequences before they act. So there are planners. And then this morning, as we see in Acts chapter 18, there are people like Apollos who are not planners. And that's okay. So Apollos, we see him in Acts chapter 18, and we see he's not the type of guy that needs everything figured out before he jumps into action. He is passionate, he is bold, and doesn't have it all figured out, and that's okay. And so we see him in Acts chapter 18, and he is preaching about the gospel of Jesus, and he's still got some pieces to fill in. And as I look at Apollos, now, I want to preface this. The first rule of the Enneagram is you're not supposed to type other people. They're supposed to figure that out on their own and type themselves. But I did you a favor, and I typed Apollos for you. Apollos, I think, is a 7 on the Enneagram because he is passionate, and he is bold, and he is spontaneous, and he is not overly concerned with the details. But he knows who Jesus is. And as we see in Acts chapter 18, he's a Jew from Alexandria that has come to Ephesus, and he doesn't have it all figured out, but he knows who Jesus is. And so he is boldly proclaiming what he does know, and that is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. And as he is boldly proclaiming this message, another Christian couple named Priscilla and Aquila walk by. And Priscilla and Aquila, you know, they come up a couple of times in the New Testament, and they are partners in the ministry with the Apostle Paul. And so they know a thing or two. In fact, when Paul was living in Corinth, he stayed with Priscilla and Aquila. And so they know a thing or two, and as they're walking by and they hear Apollos preaching, they hear some things that are characteristically missing from his message. And I can imagine them, you know, kind of talking to each other before they approach him, and they say, this guy doesn't even know about the Holy Spirit. He's still talking about the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. He doesn't know that there is a Holy Spirit. And what happens next, I absolutely love, because, you know, you could expect Priscilla and Aquila to come up and rebuke him and yell at him about how he's got his message all wrong. But no, they come up to him and they take him aside. And they explain to him the way of God more accurately. That's how it says in Acts chapter 18. They explain the way of God more accurately. They explain to him the rest of the picture. You know, Apollos, he was bold. He was passionate in his preaching, but he didn't have the full picture. He couldn't do it all on his own. He couldn't. Apollos needed loving and encouraging supporters to come alongside of him and help him. Apollos needed Priscilla and Aquila in his life. See, I think the story of Apollos displays something that I think is vital for us as we look at our stories, because no one is alone in their story. No one is alone in their story. Certainly all of our stories are unique. All of our stories are personal to us, and they're our stories. But within all of our stories, there are loving and faithful people who've walked alongside of us, supported us, encouraged us, told us when we're wrong from time to time, and brought us to where we are today. People like Priscilla, people like Aquila. Because we can't do it all alone. And getting back to this kind of personality type thing, you know, we are all different. We all have our different strengths and our different weaknesses, and we need each other. We need each other not just to encourage each other, not just to help each other grow in areas where we need growth and to instruct each other from time to time, but we also need each other to fill in those gaps where we are weak. And in this, I think Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18 demonstrate for us what it means to be the church. We are the church. The picture of the church that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that of a body. A living, breathing, working body. A body that has parts that move together and work together with eyes and ears and toes and fingers. And all those members, all those parts on their own don't do a whole lot. But together, when those parts are working together, they work for a common and greater purpose. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. You see, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were one single member, where would the body be? There are many parts, and yet one body." No one is alone in their story, because we are the church. We together are the body of Christ, and at the head of that body there is Christ, the true head. He is the chief cornerstone of the church. And no matter which part of the body we are, no matter which part we are, we work at the direction and the guidance of Christ, who is our head, who is our chief cornerstone. We are all a part of each other's stories as we are a part of the church, just as Christ himself is at the center of all of our stories. And so just as Christ himself directed Priscilla and Aquila that day to walk alongside of Apollos and be a part of his story, consider for a moment, who are the people that God has called to walk alongside of you in your life? Who are the people that have shown you what it means to call upon Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Who are the people that have shown you what it means to be a Christian? You might be thinking about parents right now, or grandparents, maybe a few Sunday school teachers, youth leaders growing up, perhaps all of the above. But this is what it means for us to be the church, to walk humbly together, to share with each other our stories, and in good times and bad, to point each other to the truth. And that's the saving grace that is in Jesus Christ. Now, as I think about my own story and my own life, there's a number of people that I could talk about that have walked alongside of me and supported me in my story. And one person in particular that I want to bring up this morning, and I think he's fresh in my mind because I just saw him in Minneapolis last week, is a man by the name of Wade Murphy. And Wade was a member of my church growing up in Bend. And Wade, when I was in high school, volunteered in our youth group as a leader. And Wade, he didn't have any kids. He had no kids in the youth group. Wade didn't have any formal youth ministry training or experience. Wade just loved Jesus. And he wanted us to love Jesus too. And so he came to be a part of our youth group to pour into our lives. Wade wasn't a young adult. Wade was probably not the picture that most of us would expect of a youth ministry volunteer, a youth leader. In fact, I wish I had gotten a picture with him this last week. I saw him, and you know, he's probably in his 50s or 60s. He's completely bald, and I love him to death because he showed me what it means to follow Jesus, because he poured into me and my life and the lives of my peers and showed me who Jesus is. So why do I bring up Wade? Because I want all of us to be like Wade. I want all of us to ask that question and have that mindset that Priscilla and Aquila had that day, to ask, who's Apollos in my life? Who are the people that God is calling me to be in their life? Who are the people that need me? Who can I walk alongside of and support and encourage and pray for them, and in the good times and bad times, point them to their Savior Jesus? No one is alone in their story. Apollos wasn't alone. I'm not alone in my story, and neither are you. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. Just as Apollos needed the loving direction and support of Priscilla and Aquila in his life, so also does our church right here need the Priscillas and the Aquilas here in these pews right now to be seeking out to love and support those around them. You know, we often talk about in this church that we love our kids. We love kids in worship. We want our kids here to be hearing God's word, to be shaped by God's word. We want to be supporting our families as they raise their kids in the faith. And that is a mammoth task, and one that they can't accomplish on their own. We had a baptism this morning at 8:15, and bringing Patricia up in the faith is going to be a huge task that her parents aren't going to be able to do on their own, because they need grandmas and grandpas. They need aunts and uncles, both of blood and not of blood, to walk alongside of them. They need the body of Christ to be with them in their lives. What would it look like if we were Priscilla or Aquila in the stories of our families? Showing up to baseball games, volunteering to babysit from time to time, helping out at Sunday school, or volunteering in our youth group. We can't do it alone. And the beauty of the church, the beauty of the body of Christ, is that we don't have to, and we don't. And so really, that's my encouragement for us this morning. That's my encouragement for you today, is let's be the body of Christ. Let's pour into each other's lives. And so if you are a parent or you are a member of a family, I want you to think about people here. Who can be Priscilla or Aquila in the life of your family? Who can walk with you? Who can be a part of your life and a part of your story to support you as you and your kids seek to follow Jesus and trust him with your lives? And if you don't have a family of your own, who can be Apollos in your life? Who can be the person that you can pour into? How can you be like my friend, my mentor, Wade, who poured into my life, and seek to love and support those who need you, to walk alongside the people of this church and encourage them as they seek to follow Jesus? See, I think this story of Apollos is really just a story of the church. It's this beautiful picture of what the church is, what the church does. It displays who we are in Jesus Christ. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. We who are many members make up one body, a body that loves and supports itself. a body that has Christ at its head and at his direction, at his guidance. We're in this together. And so let's be the body of Christ. Let Christ lead us. Amen. We're going to close our service out with